Hello and welcome to FirstGroup Trading Update. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present Matthew Gregory, Chief Executive. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining the call today. I'm joined by Nick, Rachel, and Faisal. And I'm going to take you through a summary of the group's trading performance since our half-year point at the end of September, before we open up to Q&A. So the headlines are: overall trading performance in the October to January period has been in line with our projections. Revenue metrics are growing, led in the period by our largest business, First Student, and we've been working hard to improve our financial performance and our service for passengers. Reported group revenue is up 14% year-to-date, benefiting from the inclusion of the South Western Railway franchise and partially offset by a small net headwind from foreign exchange. In constant currency and excluding the South West Rail impact, revenues are up by 5.5% year-to-date, and our road divisions have grown revenue by 1.9% year-to-date in constant currency. Looking ahead, although overall conditions in our markets remain uncertain and poor weather always has the potential to affect our performance, our trading performance to date supports our unchanged outlook for 2018-19. And finally, we're on track to deliver higher cash flow this year with a stable underlying cash flow performance boosted by the benefit of some phasing in our rail division, some rail cash inflows, which will unwind over time, as well as some property disposal. So let's go into the divisions in more detail. In First Student, our revenue performance in the period at 6.2% growth reflects the price increases and higher contract retention rates we achieved in last summer's bid season. The recruitment and retention of drivers remains the biggest challenge we face in Student, given the persistent strength of the US employment market. However, we continue to refine and improve our processes, and this helped us deliver a solid start-up of the school year for our school board customers and our passengers. Together with our ongoing cost efficiency actions, our performance in this key period underpins our confidence in delivering profit growth in First Student for the full year. First Transit's revenues were slightly stronger in the period, but year-to-date are essentially in line with last year. Contract starts and organic growth are offsetting the end of some relatively large contracts, such as the high-margin business in the Canadian oil sands that we've previously spoken about, and which completed at the end of last year. We continue to build our expertise in the autonomous vehicle space with pilot projects in California, Florida, and Texas getting underway in recent months. And in November, we were selected to be the operator of the X-Train, which will be the first luxury train service to connect Southern California to Las Vegas in over 20 years. Meanwhile, our productivity and cost efficiency improvement programs continue to offset the challenging U.S. driver cost environment. And finally, in North America, we turn to Greyhound. As you'll remember, we set out a plan towards the end of last year to respond to the very difficult trading environment in some of Greyhound's markets, particularly those with significant low-cost airline competition, and in parts of Canada where demand has been in decline for years. The difficult conditions persist, and if anything, the recent fuel price reductions increases the challenge, as this makes the airlines and passenger cars we compete with more cost-competitive. However, we're beginning to see early signs of improvement from the commercial and operational changes we've made across our network. Meanwhile, in Canada, our withdrawal of service in significant parts of the country from the end of October has proceeded to plan. We'll continue to take opportunities to unlock value where possible, such as the sale in January of our maintenance facility in Chicago for $38 million. So let me move on to the UK. In First Bus, like-for-like passenger revenue grew by 1.3%, with higher revenue per mile from our fares and other commercial actions, more than offsetting a like-for-like passenger volume decrease of 1.9% in the period. This reflected the subdued footfall on the high street this Christmas that many retailers have reported on, as well as some network restructuring actions. We're also continuing to improve margins by modernizing our operating procedures and work practices while keeping our cost base and operating footprint under review. As you know, we're focusing our investment in those areas where we have strong partnerships with local authorities, who support our ambitions to deliver thriving and sustainable bus services. In the period, for example, we announced another 75 new ultra-low emission vehicles for Glasgow in 2019, coming on top of 75 last year. And in Leeds, we've now taken delivery of more than 100 new ultra-low emission buses in the last 12 months, representing the first third of our £71 million investment in the partnership with the city. We've also announced this morning the sale of one of our Manchester depots to Go Ahead for £11 million, an example of our continued focus on optimising our footprint and investment strategy. The sale moderates our exposure to a market which has been challenging for us as a result of mounting congestion issues and some structural uncertainties as to Transport for Greater Manchester's future plans for the delivery of bus services. Moving on to First Rail, overall revenue is up 45% year-to-date, in large part reflecting the South West Rail franchise. Adjusting out South West Rail, the like-for-like passenger revenue growth is 5% year-to-date and 4.2% in the period, principally reflecting significant infrastructure challenges which resulted in disappointing operating performance for passengers towards the end of 2018. We're working hard with Network Rail and our other industry partners to improve our operating performance and are encouraged with the improvements made since the beginning of this calendar year. Great Western Railway continues to roll out the Hitachi Intercity Express train fleet and to manage customer journeys around the substantial infrastructure upgrades undertaken by Network Rail. You'll remember that TPE has had a difficult summer due to the knock-on effects of May's big timetable changes on other TOCs in the region. But in the period, TPE made several amendments to the timetable that have significantly enhanced service reliability. And South Western Railway has been affected by several operating incidents in the period that caused significant disruption, as well as the reduced services and damage to our customers' experience caused by strike action. So moving away from the divisions, we've refinanced the £250 million 6.125% coupon bond due in January 2019 from cash on hand and our bank facilities, as we previously indicated, although this will not have a significant effect on the group's overall interest costs going forward, as the bond had previously been swapped to a floating rate. And our next major refinancing is now in April 2021. So in summary, our overall trading in the period was in line with expectations. Conditions remain uncertain, but our unchanged outlook for the full year is supported in particular by First Student's strong bid season last summer and the momentum in First Bus. We're getting on with the delivery of plans to improve service to our customers, improve our financial performance, and to unlock the value within our portfolio of businesses. So thanks very much for listening to all that. And with that, I'll hand you back to the operator, who will manage any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, then please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. And the first question comes from the line of Damian Burrow from RBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I've got a couple of questions, please. First of all, involving Manchester. Could you give us some idea of what sort of contribution or loss the depot was running in the last year, and if it's just one-off sale or whether there's a succession of others either in Manchester or elsewhere you'd look at? And if you do, will those two also see the defined benefit pension obligations retained within the company, or would you look at trying to sell those with the businesses? And then the second question on UK Bus. Volumes down 1.9%, sort of price mix up 1.3%. Is that part of a shift now towards more sort of price-focused revenue growth, or is that just a result of the way things have shaken out in the quarter? Thank you.
Morning, Damien. Thanks for that. Okay, well, let me start off with Manchester. I mean, this is one of three major depots that we have in Manchester, and I'd say that this business is around a third of the overall Manchester business. I won't go into the details of the contribution for each of our depots, but it's fair to say that it's a relatively small contribution that we get from that depot. You weren't really expecting me to talk about, you know, any other depots or any plans that we may have there, other than to say and to reiterate what we said before, is that we constantly keep the portfolio under review. You know, we've taken this decision because of our position in Manchester, and we think it's right to reduce our exposure there. But clearly, you know, we keep all of our businesses under review, and we'll update people with any progress that we make on that at the right time. I think in the same spirit, it's not really right to comment on sort of pension issues in that respect. I would say that the existing defined benefit obligation will remain with us in First Group, and as you'd expect, we'll continue our obligations towards that defined pension scheme. So nothing really changing significantly there. I think in terms of the point around the volumes and the price and what does this signal, I think what this signals is that we've there's been a difficult trading period over the winter period, and seen that across the whole of the high street. But what we've been saying for the last 12 to 18 months is that we are looking at each of our businesses as separate operating companies, each of them having separate requirements and needs, and therefore this is, you know, this is a reflection of specific pricing action we may have taken, but also specific network changes that we have made in response to the demand for services in those businesses. So I think this result just carries on our existing policy of adapting our commercial and operating structure to reflect the demands of each of the businesses we have.
Okay, thank you. But can I just follow up with respect, you know, almost a year ago, the board talked about strong prospects for shareholder value creation as you fell out of or disengaged from the discussions with Apollo, and the shares are now about 20% below that. So I think it's fair to ask, you know, is Manchester just this sort of opportunistic one-off, or is there more in process in the business as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, look, David, you're right. It's fair to ask those kind of questions, and I think when you talk about where we were last year, I mean, we were very clear at that stage, around that whole Apollo discussion. I think it's not really right for us to, talk about our individual plans. What we have said is that we're open to assessing our portfolio, and we're looking at any opportunities we have to unlock value. And what we think this does is, rather than being sort of a negative, I think this demonstrates that we are moving forward with plans to unlock value where we feel it's appropriate. But it's not right for me to sit and say, you know, what else we might be doing or what else we might be looking at. I mean, you can see that, I mean, again, we're talking very heavily about the UK, but you can see that, you know, in Chicago, for example, in Greyhound, we've taken the opportunity to sell our maintenance facility there. We've got a large facility. We're going to downgrade it, put it to another location, significantly smaller. And again, it's a way that we're trying to find ways of unlocking the potential in the portfolio.
Okay, thanks very much. We'll see what develops. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Damien.
Thank you. Our next question comes to the line of Gerald Koo from Liberum. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, everyone. Three for me, if I can. Starting in rail, how comfortable are you with the current revenue growth rates? Maybe put it another way, I mean, at the current run rate, would you feel a need to provide for Southwestern in terms of an owner's contract? And also, what revenue growth do you actually need to achieve to stay within the provision you've already taken on TransPennine? Certainly on UK Bus, are you going to be recognising a profit or loss on disposal there? And finally, just following up on this Greyhound Chicago disposal, I mean, is there going to be, you talked about moving to smaller facilities there, a reinvestment requirement out of that $38 million that you've realised? Thanks.
Sure. Thanks, Gerald. Yeah, look, I mean, I think on the rail situation, I mean, what I'd say is that we're not comfortable with the performance of a couple of our franchises. I think you talk about TransPennine, and we've been significantly affected by the timetable changes, and the impact that the performance of one of the other talks in that area has had on our business. So, you know, and again, as you know, that when things like that affect us, you know, we have the opportunity to have discussions, you know, according to our franchise agreements with the government about the effect that that's having on us. So I think the key thing for us is to focus, you know, particularly in TransPennine on improving the service, and, you know, our expectation is that the point that the service improves, the revenue growth will improve as well. I think you talk about Southwest Rail. I mean, again, that is a franchise, again, that's been significantly affected by performance issues. It's been affected by industrial action. It's been affected by a lot of issues. And our focus is very much on improving the performance and improving the customer experience. And frankly, you know, from an accounting perspective, we'll update people at the appropriate time if we felt that there was something to say about that franchise. But really, our focus is all about improving the performance. Now, what I would say is that since January, performance has started to improve. So, you know, we'll be looking for revenue growth to improve off the back of that at the appropriate time. I mean, moving on to the UK, I mean, I think on the Manchester depot, there may be some ups and downs on the P&L. It won't be a significant number in terms of sort of profit or loss we may have made on that depot. And when you talk about the Greyhound disposal, we're looking at roughly half of those proceeds to be reinvested back into a much smaller site, a much more efficient site in the Chicago area. I mean, Chicago is one of our sort of bigger hubs that we have in the network, with a lot of buses coming in and out of that. So we will be reinvesting in something more suitable for the business.
Okay, just a follow-up. Where are you in terms of goodwill on balance sheet in relation to both UK Bus and Greyhound, please?
Well, Greyhound, obviously, we wrote that off at the end of last year. If you recall, there was a major adjusting item there, so we don't have anything in terms of goodwill on the balance sheet. In terms of goodwill in the bus business, it's a much smaller number. I'm sure we can come back to it.
It's around about 80 million.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Does that help?
Yeah, thanks.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes on the line of Dominic Edridge from UBS. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Yes, hello, thanks for taking the question. It's more focused in just on the cash flow. I know that you've sort of made the commentary about better cash inflows, and apologies if I missed sort of the any more details on that. But I was wondering, can you just elaborate, is that just to do with the asset disposals that obviously we know about that have been commented upon in the statement, or are there any other pieces that we should be thinking about? And on the back of that, could you make any comments about the net debt situation at the end of the year? Thanks so much.
Sure. Let me comment on that. I mean, I think what we're saying is that the cash flow or the cash inflow that we're expecting for this year will be higher than we may have expected previously. There is an impact coming from the Greyhound disposal. I think you'll find that the Manchester sale won't really affect this financial year. There's a period of sort of transfer that's got to happen there, so that's unlikely to fully complete until after our financial year end. And then what we're saying on top of that is that we're seeing some timing impact on our rail business, where we've had some higher inflows than we're expecting, but that we'd expect that to sort of go back out in over the next year or so. So, I mean, underlying cash flow is as we'd expected, but we've got these sort of one or two additional benefits boosting the cash flow for this year. In terms of net debt, I think you'll find that it'll be in the the sort of 1.5 times range, maybe slightly better than that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just as a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, then please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes on the line of Alex Patterson from Investec. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, everyone. Congratulations on the trading. Sorry to labour the point on Manchester. I just wonder if you can tell us anything about the fleet there. Is that fleet you've sold in line with the average age? Excuse me, for the group as a whole, is it a bit older than that? And then secondly, I just wonder, could you say on Greyhound, what would the reported change in revenue be, please?
Sure. Yes, thanks for that, Alex. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the fleet from Manchester, the average age of those buses would be slightly higher than the average age of our overall fleet, but obviously it's a relatively small number. In terms of the reported revenue number, we don't really give that out at this quarter stage, and we can update you on that when we get to the full year. And clearly, from a reporting perspective, as we've closed Canada, a big chunk of Canada, there's been an impact coming through on the Canada business during this 4-month period, but I think it's probably better that we give you that once we've seen the full year numbers come through.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And as there seem to be no further questions, I will hand back the word to speakers. Oh, sorry, we just got a question registered. Our next question is from Joe Thomas from HSBS. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, gents. First of all, wage inflation, UK and the US. I'm guessing it's running at the sort of 2-2.5% range in the UK, but could you confirm that? In the US, you touch on it in transit and, of course, student. Can you just say, is it getting any worse? And what are the actions that you've taken and the processes that you've implemented to manage that, and is it all being fully offset? And then finally, US, you had been talking about M&A in the past. Has there been anything done, or are there any more opportunities that you see in the short term?
Thanks for that, Joe, and thanks for bringing it back to the US. It's always good to talk about the big part of our business. Well, let me start with the last question first, if that's okay. So from an M&A perspective, we are building the pipeline. We're having a number of discussions, but we would have, had we done anything, we would have made that pretty clear to everybody. I mean, I'm expecting in the next 6 months that we will have something to talk about, and we got sort of double-digit sort of opportunity or prospects out there on the pipeline. But as always with M&A, it's a question of getting people into the right place, getting the right value, making sure it's all working out for us. Because this is all, as we said before, it's all the kind of bolt-on, mom-and-pop type operations. Then coming back to your first question around sort of the wages, yeah, I mean, I'd confirm that the UK is between that 2-2.5% level of inflation. I think in the US we are sort of more at the 3-3.5% range, but we with our pricing we have been able to offset that. So across the US businesses we are able to do that. And in terms of how we're dealing with the improvements, I mean, again, it comes down to a very specific location driven issues. So the type of things that we're doing is talking to the local authorities or local school boards, looking either to negotiate higher wage levels for the drivers if there's particular areas where we're competing against the transit authority, for example. We're doing all the things you'd expect us to do around sign-on bonuses, getting staff members to refer people. We've got new recruitment people coming into sort of give almost like SWAT team type focus on some of the more difficult areas. But it's the stuff that we have been doing over the last sort of couple of years of just really focusing on the areas that are causing us issues. But overall, I would say that we're keeping it under control. The inflation's not getting worse, but it's not getting any better as we see it at the moment.
Thanks. Just coming back to the acquisition point, maybe I noted this down incorrectly, but did you say double-digit prospects in the pipeline? I wasn't quite sure what you meant by that.
Yeah, so that's a pipeline that our M&A team are generating in the US. So that's not sort of ready to go or even negotiated, but that's prospects, people that we've identified that we can talk to in areas that we want to do acquisitions. There's a lot of work going on in that pipeline to bring some of those from prospect status to something more tangible.
The number of businesses he means, yeah.
Yes, okay. Right, great, thank you.
Thank you. And we have Thank you. We have a follow-up from Damian Brewer from RBC. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Oh, yeah, good morning again. I just want to follow up on Gerald's question, just on South West Railway. Could you just give us a feeling of how far advanced your discussions are on the CLE issue and where the next waypoints are, and just give us an idea of, you know, in the first half, SWRs was heading towards loss. Is that continuing, or has the sort of improvement in growth there managed to change that round? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that, Damien. I'm afraid I can't, actually. I can't really give update. I mean, these are, you know, commercially confidential conversations that we have, and we continue to have conversations with the DfT, and at the point there's anything to say about that, we'll update people. So really, I to be honest, I can't really say much more about South West Rail other than, you know, our focus is on improving the performance.
Okay, and has the intensity of those discussions increased, decreased, or is it at the same tenor?
As I said, I can't really say much more, Damien, sorry.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. And as there are no further questions registered, I will hand back to the speakers for any closing comments.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, for your time, for the attention to our trading update, and we'll let you get back to your day. Thanks very much.
Thank you. This now concludes the conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.